program is a paid advertisement. The views reflected on this show are not necessarily the views of ESPN 1000.
You mean to tell me that you went home and swiped a ball that was signed by Babe Ruth, and you brought it out here and actually played with it?
Are you one of those people that has to know how much the Babe Ruth ball is actually worth?
I was going to bring it back,
but it was signed by Babe Ruth!
Yeah, you keep telling me that. Who is she?
We'll keep it right here, because today is your lucky day.
The Sultan of Clout!
King of Clout!
The Colossus of Clout! The Colossus of Clout!
Babe Ruth!
It's time for Sports Collecting with Tom Morgan, sponsored by ERC Delivery and Huggins and Scott Auctions.
God, great Babe!
Good morning, everybody. I'm Tom Morgan from Triple Crown in Naperville with Vince Clemente of ERC Delivery, Bill Huggins of Huggins and Scott Auctions, and our producer, Eric Ostrowski. We're on every Sunday morning from 7 to 8 a.m. Central Time, taking your questions about the value of your collectibles. No one claimed the prize last week, so we have added an item to the prize package. Listen to this prize package this week. A 2016 Topps high-tech baseball box, a Chicago Bears retro bobblehead, and a Topps Cubs World Series Champions 25-card box set is your prize. If you call us at 312-332-3776 with a question about the value of an item, you get in the drawing. Vince will pick the winner at the end of the show, and then you have till Thursday to email Vince at ERC Delivery, and they'll set up a delivery to get it to you free of charge. So, you know, we had snow last night, but it really wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be driving in. I think we're getting more today, but driving in, you know, and I always do a recording when I'm driving in bad weather, and I don't think there was anything today. Let me check. All right. All right, maybe there was one little part there. But anyway,
I remember some weeks driving in where it was just ice sometimes, and you talk about bare-knuckle driving.
Right. It wasn't. They had the roads pretty clear. I drove, you know, much slower than normally, which, you know, I was still moving along at a decent clip. I had a couple other songs played, you know, extra songs on that recording I play every week when I'm coming in. So I know it took me longer to get here, but it wasn't really that bad. So now we just have a regular show going. We've got, except Bill, is Americana Steve there with you?
Morning, Tom.
Hey, Americana Steve made it. Very good. Always good to have Americana Steve on the show. So, Americana Steve, what kind of stuff, what kind of items are you looking for? If people have unusual items that they might be wondering the value of, what are some things that you're big on?
Well, we like comic books and coins a whole lot. They're main categories, but we also do very well with political and military stuff, signed items by famous generals. Civil War stuff is always good. Military stuff is good. We've repeatedly had Jimmy Doolittle and his Raiders, who launched our attack on Tokyo after Pearl Harbor, which should be in everybody's mind right now. And any kind of old and interesting antique toys, tin toys, figurines, and that kind of stuff.
Well, very good. So if anybody out there has any of that type item, a lot of people think Huggins and Scott, you know, it's just sports items, but there's a lot of different things, as you just heard there. So any other items, any non-sports stuff that you have, give us a call if you think it might be valuable. We'll try to mix in some. As for instance, here in the previews are already up at HugginsandScott.com. There's a 1976-77 Star Trek and Star Wars card collection with sets, singles, wrappers, box, and packs with a $150 minimum bid. I bet that'll do real well. Any type of stuff like that, political, pop culture, whatever, you can. It doesn't have to be sports to give us a call, and it's a great prize package. Plus, you can tweet a picture of an item to my attention. T-Crown Tom is my Twitter ID. And if we use that on the show, you'll get in the drawing. Or Here's something interesting. Now, I've been getting more emails from people. tcrowntom@gmail.com is my email. I got a few interesting emails. If you email me a question about an item and we use it, Vince will put you in the drawing. For instance, Michael emailed on last Sunday after the show. I listen to your Sunday morning radio show frequently and was hoping you would have some idea about the value of a collection of horse racing glasses. I originally thought he meant like jockey goggles, but it turns out these are jockey signed drinking glasses, and he has them from Triple Crown races for the last 30 years and many of the Breeders' Cup glasses in that same time period. Now, Bill, that's a valuable collection, but the fact that there's a lot of glass involved, is that a problem as far as shipping to you guys, or what do you think about a collection like that?
Well, you're right. I mean, glass does break, and it certainly is something that needs to be packaged securely and safely in order to get it transported. But no, I got your email about those glasses, and I'd be curious to see how many of them are signed and actually who signed them, you know.
Yeah, that, I mean, value-wise, I think that could have some really good, let's say it was, they were all signed. That would be like an incredible, that would be thousands, don't you think?
But the potential is certainly there for that.
Yeah.
I mean, if it's signed by, you know, Angel Cordero and, you know, Lafitte and Kai, and then a lot of those old jockeys who are all Hall of Famers now, those would be very desirable.
Well, it'll be interesting to get some follow-up from Michael and see what, you know, see what that is, what he has, and then kind of go from there to see about the shipping and all that. I got another one. I think this was from Captain Dick. I think Captain Dick might have been out for a while before he sent this message. He said, listening to Cicero Guy's stories and hearing how Duty and Cool Papa Bell could spin yarns and captivate audiences. That was from last week's show that we had, you know, some interesting callers last week. He goes, got me thinking, what about our stories? Why not have an annual Christmas gathering of collectors with an open mic? I don't know that I want Captain Dick on an open mic. and allow all to share their crazy tales of how they came to get something or who they met. Granted, some ramble on and alcohol doesn't help, but it's the spirit of the thing. Just a thought. Happy holidays, and I'll miss the show over the winter. Now, we're only for what we're only going to be gone. Well, next week will be our last show. Then we're only going to be gone January and February, and then we're coming back in March and going March through November, thanks to Bill Huggins of Huggins and Scott Auctions and Vince Clemente of ERC Delivery are ready to sponsor the show again. So we're just going to take a 2-month break so we don't have too many drives of with that in the background. But we'll be back in March. There's lots going on in March. So, you know, Vince, I thought you would like that idea, but I think all we need to do is get these guys to call in rather than get everybody together with some crazy holiday party or something.
There you go. Because if some good guy goes on too long, we got the dump butt. We
can right. Whereas, rather than he fills up another drink while he's talking, you know, through the whole thing. But not a bad idea from Captain Dick. And always good to hear from our regular listeners. So tcrowntom@gmail.com is my email if you ever do have something. You know, a lot of people don't like to call into the show. Supposedly, it's actually a very small percentage of radio listeners that actually will call in to a radio show. Now, I'm right here in the Mazda State Street studio, right on State Street across from the Chicago Theater doing the show. And so I can see when if it's starting to snow again. It just looked like maybe it's starting to snow again. I don't know. We'll see. It definitely has a festive holiday feel down here, without a doubt. Now, in the Huggins and Scott, The bidding begins the end of January for the February auction. This is an interesting item, Bill. A Babe Ruth typed letter signed, dated March 30th, 1935, and it's on a letter with a Boston Braves letterhead. In the info in the letter, there's mention of Dizzy Dean, a really cool letter, $2,500 minimum bid. I looked it up. Ruth played 28 games as all for the Boston Braves in 1935. His letter was dated March 30th, 1935, so he thought he had something left, but he was 40 at that time and from pictures, not in the greatest shape at that point. That year, he only hit 181, six homers, 12 RBIs, which isn't too bad, in 72 at-bats. And he still had a 119 OPS plus in the current stats. They probably would have given him $10 million on that anyway. But listen to Babe Ruth's 162-game average. 342 average, 46 homers, 143 RBIs, 474 on base percentage, a 206 OPS plus over his career. That's where 100 is average. So he was like double the average player over the course of his entire career. 141 runs scored, 186 hits, and nine triples in a 162 game average. Vince, you could have probably done that, don't you think, if you had been...
A very small percentage of that. Very small.
Yeah. You would have had the stolen bases.
A few more bases.
Yeah, there we go. You could have just fast walked stolen bases, much less ran. Now, that was one thing the Bambino didn't have a great stolen base percentage over the course of his career. I guess he was fairly fast, but he didn't have a great stolen base percentage. So anyway, give us a call at 312-332-3776 if you're up. It's not that bad outside yet. I think more snow's coming today, but it wasn't that bad out there yet. The streets are pretty well cleared off. So give us a call, 312-332-3776. We have a nice prize package, a 2016 Topps high-tech baseball box, a Chicago Bears retro bobble, and a Topps Cubs World Series Champions 25-card box set. Now, yesterday at Triple Crown in Naperville, there's a good story about that. I decided to give away, we had, you know, maybe 10 or 12 customers there. You know, it gets kind of packed in sometimes, Vince, on Saturdays. And so I decided to give away one of the Cubs Topps 25-card World Series Champions box set. It's like a $20 set. They've been selling great. Real nice cards inside of them, almost like the quality of the Topps Now cards. And I'm asking, there was, 10, 12 people. So I picked a card. It was numbered, I think, to 199. And people would guess what number between 1 and 99 a few guys picked. A gentleman who was in with his daughter picks a number. And then his daughter has a chance to pick. And she goes, oh, I don't want to pick. And, you know, sometimes younger kids are, you know, with all the adults around, they don't want to pick. It's like, the father goes, well, go ahead, honey, pick a number. We got a chance to win the set. She goes, I don't want a Cubs set. It turns out she's a White Sox fan. Now, this is a true White Sox fan. Olivia, age 8, didn't want to enter a drawing for a 2016 Cubs World Series box set because she's such a White Sox fan. So I think, Vince, you should enter them in as Olivia's dad. We can't have kids in the drawing, but why don't you put them in as Olivia's dad in the drawing? After that, she deserves to be in with that one.
I'll actually enter them with a big old White Sox logo.
Yeah, right. Everybody was, everybody absolutely cracked up when she said that. What do I want that for? I'm a Sox fan. Lenny from Orland Park's on the line. What do you have there, Lenny?
Hey, guys. Good morning.
Hello.
I've got, Steve's there today, so I thought I'd call this in. I've got a autobiography, a leather-bound hardcover book signed by John Glenn. And when he signed it, this is about 20 years ago, 15 maybe. And when he was there, he signed a baseball for me also.
Oh, very cool. He's an American hero. That, you know, he was actually a wingman, or actually Ted Williams was his wingman on some missions in Korea. Americana Steve, what do you think of that now, John Glenn signed book and single signed baseball?
Well, up until recently, his stuff had some value, not high value like Neil Armstrong, but, you know, in the low $100 to $200 range. I think they're going to do a lot better now. And I think the ball is, believe it or not, more interesting than the book to a lot.
I thought so, too, yeah.
People love to collect baseballs, and, you know, it fits in with their collection that they can display it easier. So I actually think the ball will probably do twice as good as the book.
Yeah, I was thinking the exact same thing. So how nice is the ball and the signature
letter? It's absolutely pure white and just perfect.
Beautiful. That's neat.
You sign up in a blue pen and just beautiful. I've had it, like I say, for probably 15, 20 years. Should I put those in separate auctions, like instead of together, or what do you think? Like not, you know, the book and the ball?
Lenny, I would run them as two different items, not as one lot.
And
okay.
I would think that the February auction would be a good one to do that in, sort of, for lack of a better way to say it, strike while the iron is hot, so to speak.
But yeah, he's in the public mind now that he passed away, and there's all kinds of stories about him and everything. So, yeah, the quicker the better on that one.
All right, I'll ship that to you, Billy.
Very good. Thanks for the call.
Yeah, I'll call you when I get it, Lenny. Thanks.
Next on the line we have... You know, it's kind of interesting because a lot of people think, well, if it's not a baseball player, what can I get signed? Any celebrity you can get to sign a single signed baseball, you know, sign a baseball, and it can have really good value to it. The good part about it, too, there's not as many of those items out there. But Randy from Wooddale sounds like had a different idea for what to get signed. What do you have here, Randy?
Hey, thanks for taking my call, Tom. I listen to you guys every Sunday.
Great
show. I don't think they're worth much, but I've got 1976 printed $2 bills in mint condition.
Now, are they signed by anybody, Randy?
No,
they're
not.
I thought you had them signed like by like an Arnold Palmer or something like that.
No,
okay.
I wish, Jesus.
Bill, you're just killing, $2 bills from the 70s, any value to those?
Well, they're worth more than $2 if you've kept them crisp and untouched and there's no folds. They might have a catalog value of $8 to $12, but realistically they're going to sell on the open market for $5 a piece. So, you know, the fact that you've kept them nice and crisp and in pure state, yeah, they're worth more than the $2 you paid for them.
He's making money. Well, it's time for a short break now. The number here is 312-332-3776. We're on till 8, taking your questions about the value of your collectibles. We have a nice prize package, a high-tech baseball box, Chicago Bears retro bobble, and a Cubs World Series Champions box set. So hang in there.
Now back to Sports Collecting with Tom Morgan. Sponsored by ERCDelivery.com and Huggins and Scott Auctions on ESPN 1000 and ESPNChicago.com.
Welcome back. I'm Tom Morgan with Vince Clementi of ERC Delivery and Bill Huggins of Huggins and Scott Auctions. And with Bill from Huggins and Scott is Americana Steve. That music background there, if musicians follow me on Twitter... Well, and they have something. We'll get Eric and pick it up. We'll play a cut after a break of some music from there. He's a composer, Sean Beeson. He has like 865,000 followers on Twitter. So it's like, whoa, man, how does somebody get 865,000 followers? But that was from Sunborn Rising Beneath the Fall. It's a original soundtrack thing. So this guy must be a big name. So that was pretty cool. 700 or 800 some thousand followers. It makes me feel not like I'm not that important, I guess. Okay.
At some point, he's at about 20, kind of like I do right now.
Yeah,
at some point, he was at that 20.
Yeah, you got to start somewhere. That's right. What is your Twitter ID, Vince?
ERC 1999, I believe.
Okay, very good. Vince Clementi at ERC Delivery.
Is that a trick question?
Yeah, I didn't know if you knew or not. You know, who knows? All right, let's do a quick which ended higher. All right, now, this is some unusual stuff, and this is a little different, Vince, because two of these items ended in the November Huggins and Scott auction at the same price. So two were the same, and then one was more expensive. Okay, the three items, 1958 to 69 Colts press pins, lot of nine. Baltimore Colts press pins, a lot of nine of them from 1958 to 1969. The second lot is an AAFC All-America Football Conference, which was in existence from 1946 to 49. This is from 9/6/1946, Miami Seahawks versus Cleveland Browns program, ticket stub, press pass, and pin back. So it's a lot of four from the first AAFC game. And then the third item, a 1958-59 Baltimore Colts World Champions Ball for China tea service. Lot of six. Some of those items, like there's a plate with the team logo and it's got stamped on signatures, 44 facsimile signatures, a saucer cup, that type thing. So it's those three items, Vince. Two of them are the same. Which one do you think is the most expensive?
I'm going to say the most expensive is the AAFC 46 lot.
And that is a very good guess, but incorrect. That and
is it the lot of nine, the 58 to 69 lot of nine?
Yes, it was. That lot of nine went for $1,700 in the November Huggins and Scott auction. And the other two items each went for $1,300. So close, but the lot of nine did more. So you can see a lot of different things. It's not just cards or sets of cards that go in the Huggins and Scott auction. For instance, here's one. We've got Josh from LaSalle. What do you have there, Josh? It sounds unusual.
Yeah, I got a couple things. I got a 1978 Bally Star Trek pinball machine I'm in the middle of remodeling.
Oh, you
didn't know if that was going to be doing anything.
Do you have the? Have you already beaten it a few times? You've had it since
78? No, I got it from my grandfather. He bought a building and they were sitting locked up in the storage in the building he bought, so I took them and kind of working on them, getting them back running. They got the owner's manual with the wiring diagram and everything still.
Okay. And your other item?
I think it was Topps that made them, but the Batman Return movies card, I've got the full series of those. I didn't know if those were worth anything.
Do you know what year that was from?
I don't off the top of my head, no.
Well, Americana Steve, do either of those ring a bell? I don't know if you guys, a pinball machine's pretty big, if you guys have ever run pinball machines, but what do you think, a 78 pinball machine and a Batman Returns movies cards?
Well, the movie cards are easier to distinguish. If they have photos on them, they're probably the ones from the late 80s or early 90s, and it would have either Michael Keaton or Val Kilmer or who was the third guy that played him? Those movies that they made back then. Or if they had, like, artwork, like cartoon images, they would be the 1966 Top series. And those would be much more valuable than the ones from the late 80s and early 90s. As far as the Star Trek pinball machine goes, well, that sounds fantastic. Now, we haven't seen one of those before, but I would imagine in working order that, you know, you're talking thousands of dollars.
Wow. Now, would that be one of those things that you could auction it and say it would have to be picked up or delivered in the Chicago area, you know, where maybe you could work with Vince at ERC Delivery and just have a Chicago area guy, only Chicago area people bid on that bill? Do you think that might be something that could work out? Or?
Yeah, you're right. It would be something that doesn't need to make a trip to Maryland. So, it can stay there. We just have to work it out with Josh and the consigner, my Josh and the other and this Josh,
yeah,
in order to get photos and a description and some information on it so that it can be written up properly. But then, you know, I'm sure Vince could find a way to get this wherever it needs to go if it's not won by a local Chicago area person who would come pick it up.
Now, Vince, ERC Delivery, your delivery company, you guys can deliver like pinball machines and bigger items, correct?
Oh, sure. Absolutely. Pretty much anything from an envelope to a truckload of material we can get moved from point A to point B, wherever is needed to go.
Well, it sounds like
happy to help.
There's some potential there, Josh, then, if you think you might want to. And if your cards are from the 60s, those might be valuable for the Batman Returns, but yeah, the pinball machine, if you think you want to sell it, I would suggest calling Bill Huggins during the week at 301-608-0355 and see if you can set something up. That'd be interesting to see what that would do. Vince, you strike me that in your history, in your younger days, you might have been good at pinball. Am I right?
Yeah. Actually, the best job I ever had was managing a game room. I was 18 years old. So, you know, the place would close up, have a bunch of friends come in, and we'd play games.
There you
all night
go.
Long.
I can picture it. I bet you were good, too. I bet you had all the nudges and all the tricks down, too, didn't you?
I could hold my own.
Yeah, all right. Tim from Brookfield is on the line. What do you have there, Tim?
How you doing?
Good.
Good. I've got a Stan Musial jersey autographed right on the number of the front of the jersey, a Cardinals jersey. It's not a game-worn jersey, but it's framed up. It's really nice, a nice piece.
Yeah, though he had a really cool signature. The thing about Musial, he did sign a lot. So what do you think, guys, about a signed Stan Musial jersey? Maybe $300 range, something like that?
Yeah, you know, it depends on whether it's an older signature of his or the one he signed shortly before he passed away. That his signature, like you said, he had a beautiful classic signature, but kind of toward the end it was a little bit, you know, sloppy or something. But if it's the older, clear, beautiful signature, yeah, you know, it framed like that, it could be $300 to $500.
All right, very nice. Vince, I'm sure you're not real excited about Dexter Fowler going to be modeling the St. Louis Cardinal jersey starting next year.
No, I think Cubs should have kept him. Once you win a World Series with a guy, keep him at the top of the order. I mean, you know, the Cubs are better than some of the parts if Fowler was still there. So, yeah, I don't like that deal at all.
He was an igniter for him. I was hoping the White Sox were going to get him, but as soon as they made the Sale trade and you could see they were going younger, then I knew that things changed. If they were going to stay with Sale and keep their, you know, a more veteran team, I thought he would have been nice at the top of their order, but not with this retooling that they're doing. And boy, did they pick up some nice prospects, including they did one with Bill's team with the Nasty Nats out of Washington. Bill, I'm going to tell you this in advance. It sounds like the Nationals want Adam Eaton for center field, and I think if you talk to virtually any White Sox fan, he was a gold glove right fielder, but in center field it was weird. He just wasn't as good a defender. So you might want to call Dusty up and fill him in on that. But he is a good player.
I think they want to move Trey Turner back to shortstop is what they want.
Yeah, I think so. They're going to have some speed at the top of that order, but I think you're not going to be real thrilled with the defense that you see Eaton if he's playing center. But, yeah, I guess, you know, he got better. So, I mean, he improved offensively. But, that was one of those things where he had a real good, in the advanced stats, he had a real good WAR the last couple of years. And they're real big on that. But, you know, there's some things about him when you watch him play, a good player, but his base running to me is not the smartest base runner in the world. So I don't know. I thought that the prospects that they got some really good pitching prospects for him. So it'll be interesting to see if you guys win the World Series next year, then it's a great trade. You know what I mean? You have to, that's what the Nats are going for it. They want to win. But from the White Sox standpoint, man, I think they got a nice haul on that one. Brian from Porter, Indiana is on the line. Thanks for waiting. Brian, what do you have?
Good morning, gentlemen. In 2010, Fergie Jenkins made an appearance at the Steel Yard in Gary at a Railcats game and was signing stuff, and I got a color autographed photo of him.
You know, he's a really a willing signer, and there's a lot of his signed photos out there. So even though he's one of the Cub Great Hall of Famers, a signed photo is usually only in the $20 range or so. A lot of them around on Fergie. He must sign for a lot of people. And I see more, I think, signed photos of him than just about anybody. Superman Todd's on the line. What do you have there, Superman?
Morning, guys. How are you?
Good.
I got a call yesterday, actually day before yesterday. My grandfather was cleaning out a bunch of stuff, and he's got a 58 Indians ball. He's got 20 signatures on it. He used to work at a bank down the street from Municipal Stadium, and Vic Power came in a bunch of times, and they just struck up a conversation. And towards the end of the year, He wound up getting him a ball. It's got 20 signatures on it.
Now, does that have Roger Maris on it?
Yeah, it's got Dobie, Grant, Lemon, Minoso, Mossy, Nixon, Calavito, Maris, Power, Vernon, Rizik, Score, Wilhelm, Porter, Averill, Chico, Carrasquel, Avila, Hunter, Jackson, and their manager, Bragan.
Yeah, that's a point. I mean, I think an early Maris like that, that's big just from that standpoint. Bill, what do you think, 500 or more on that ball?
Oh, I was depending on the strength of the signatures and how the Maris displays and the rest of the key guys and whether or not it's on an official league ball and everything. Yeah, you're talking probably worst-case scenario 500 to 800, and best case it could be, gosh, it could approach 1,000, 1,500 or more.
Yeah, that's a pretty neat ball.
Appreciate it, guys.
So your grandfather was rooting for the Indians in the series then, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. So what are you going to do, huh? Can't win them all. All right.
Exactly.
Well, let's see here
now. Just to win one, let alone
all of them. Yeah, right. Yeah, Vince, you still like pinching yourself every once in a while. They won. Okay, they really won.
I'm still on cloud 99. I'm not cloud 9. I'm on cloud 99 permanently.
Yeah. Now, don't forget the Huggins and Scott previews are up at HugginsandScott.com. Lots of items for the February auction. Bidding begins the end of January, goes for 10 days. I sent in some items from a couple of listeners that they brought through. And sometimes, let's say you have a really nice card and you send it in. Let's say it's with a lot and Ricky or Ryan or whoever goes through the lot at Huggins and Scott sees something. They go, hey, we should get this graded. Well, this was a 1951 Bowman Willie Mays card and Huggins and Scott sent it in for grading. It got a PSA 5, which looks like the minimum bid on it is $1,200. That has a good shot to break $3,000 with a PSA 5. So that's really, that helped out getting the grading on that one. So don't forget, if you do have a collection of nice vintage cards and they aren't graded yet, if you send the collection to Huggins and Scott for auction, they'll look them over and recommend which ones they think should get graded. It's already time for another short break here. The number is 312-332-3776. We're on till 8, taking your questions about the value of your collectibles. Got a nice prize package, a 2016 Topps high-tech baseball box, a Chicago Bears retro bobblehead, and a Topps Cubs World Series Champions 25-card box set are all in the prize package.
Now back to Sports Collecting with Tom Morgan.
Welcome back. I'm Tom Morgan from Triple Crown in Naperville with Vince Clementi of ERC Delivery, Bill Huggins of Huggins and Scott Auctions. And with Bill from Huggins and Scott Auctions this week is Americana Steve. So if you have questions about any Americana items, comic books, money, any type vintage political items, give us a call, 312-332-3776. And also with the sports questions, we are always around to answer those questions. We've got a nice prize package, a 2016 Topps high-tech baseball box, a Chicago Bears retro bobble, and a Topps Cubs World Series Champions 25-card box set to give away to one caller. Or if you tweet a picture of an item to my attention, T Crown Tom is my Twitter ID, and we use it on the show. You also get in the drawing. Now, don't forget, Huggins and Scott Auctions. Go to HugginsandScott.com. Bidding begins the end of January for their February auction. It runs for 10 days, but a lot of previews are up there. Here was something that I thought was different and kind of interesting, and after looking it up on the guy, he was better than I thought. The ultimate Woody Held card collection. I wonder what would make somebody collect Woody Held. I swear he was a guy that would come out in packs, like you'd get three Woody Helds to any one good guy ever. But a 1,522 cards with 624 PSA graded, $400 minimum bid. He actually had more power. He ended his last couple of years with the White Sox and was terrible. But in 14 seasons, his 162-game average was only a 240 batting average, but 21 homers and 65 RBIs with a 331 on base percentage, 108 OPS plus. He had from 1959 to 63, his WAR was 3.5, 3.8, 3.9, 3.8, 2.8, and he hit 29 homers 1 year. So actually, he wasn't that bad of a player, Woody Held. You learn something new every day. I still don't know that I would collect him, Bill. When that one walked in, you must have been like, Woody Held, huh?
Oh, gosh. I mean, I think that there are no more other Woody Held cards in the country. This guy had them all.
Yeah, right. So if you're a relative or a Cleveland Indians fan, I guess were his best years. Woody Held stuff is out there. The biggest Woody Held collection you'll ever find or probably would ever want to find. Joe from Joliet's on the line. What do you have there, Joe?
I have signed football with Dan Hampton, Richard Dent, Brian Urlacher, Devin Hester, and Greg Olson signature on it.
Hmm. Now, that's kind of an interesting mix as Olson left pretty early in his career. I think you probably have an outside chance for Hester to make the Hall of Fame. And if Olson has another few years, that would be better if all you had on it was Hall of Famers with that crew. You know, you might be looking $100, $150, but hang on to it. If they all make the Hall of Fame, then then you got something a little better with it, I think. I don't know. Greg Olson, he's had some really good years. You know, as from a fantasy standpoint, he's always been one of the better tight ends. Bears should have never let him go for virtually nothing like they have a tendency to do. But I don't know about Hall of Fame for him. We'll see about that one. That's a big we'll see.
The super charitable guy off the field for sure, Olson, has real good guy off the field.
Oh, really? That's
charity work.
Oh, that's good to know. Yeah. He always seemed like a good guy when he was with the Bears. I just didn't understand why they wanted to get rid of him, and especially for so little. That's one of the reasons they're not in the playoffs very often with those type of moves, I guess. Yep. Mike from Homewood's sure. On the line. What do you have there, Mike?
I have a 1960 Topps Mickey Mantle card in a real nice kind of case, so it's, you know, protected from all the elements. It hasn't been graded or anything, though.
Well, when you look at it, like, what type of condition does it look like it's in? As far as if you look at the corners, the edges, the centering, and the surface front and back, does it look sharp, or are there soft edges and corners, or how does it look?
Yeah, to the naked eye, it looks like it's in real good shape.
Hmm. So, Bill, what do you think of that one, a 1960 Topps Mantle card? By itself,
on a scale of 1 to 10, if it grades a 3, it's probably $150. If it grades a 5, it's probably $300. If you start to get into 6s, 7s, or better, you could get into thousands real quick.
Yeah, so that would be one. You know, if you wanted to bring it into Triple Crown in Naperville, I could take a look at it and see if it looks like it's worth getting graded or not, and if it would be worth sending to Huggins and Scott. And if it is, I mean, they could get it graded for you. And like he said, if that's a high grade, then you're looking at something there.
Mike, great, do you have more cards from that set or just the one?
Just that one, actually. Just that one.
Do you have any other years that you have cards?
I have a lot of years. Most of them are more frequent than that. My father bought that card years and years and years ago. Mm. And so it's kind of on an island in terms of what's part of, you know, the collection I have.
Yeah, the condition is just huge on something like that. Like, here's an 8.5 that sold for $6,500. So, you know, but it's really tough to get an 8.5. But if you bring it in sometime, I'll take a look at it. And if it's worth sending to Huggins and Scott, you know, I can send it in for you.
Great. Thank you.
All right. Thanks for the call. All right. Now, let's see here. Speaking of Huggins and Scott, let's see some other items that are in the February auction. Bidding begins, I believe, is it January 30th, I think, for the bidding for the February auction. Lots of cool stuff. Here's something that reminded me of an email of something else, actually. This is a Joe Louis signed casino page. $100 minimum bid. It's from 1977. Joe Louis signed. That reminded me of a guy. We got an email from a guy who had all kinds of old casino chips. And I thought, you know, those could be pretty good, I guess, depending on how old they are. And I went and looked, and I saw one from the Desert Inn, a $25 chip from the early 1950s, sold for over $30,000. Now, he didn't have anything like that, but I thought, whoa, I can't believe there was any chip even sold for that much. So, you know, that's kind of cool. So I don't know, Bill, if somebody brought in, like, for instance, a big lot of casino chips, or maybe Americana Steve might know something about those. Is that something, I mean, how would you know values on them as far as which ones even are valuable enough to, that would be worth auctioning, or would that even be something you'd even want to try?
Those won't go unsold, Tom. They're absolutely a strong market for that stuff.
Okay.
Pardon me. The more valuable ones are going to be the antique ones from early Las Vegas period of, you know, the late 40s and 50s, and made out of clay. And then you're going to get into, like, the 70s and 80s, and they're made out of metal. And the metal ones are just going to be worth a few dollars each, but those older clay ones, like you said, can go into the thousands. And
wow.
Who knows?
Yeah, so
I guess the rarer the, you know, the smaller the casino, maybe the rarer the piece is.
And you guys, if somebody had a good enough lot of older ones, you guys would be happy to auction those then, I take it.
I think we are already lining up a collection of those for our next auction at this point in time. So,
all right.
You know, we welcome it up. We very, welcome another batch of them, sure.
Very good. So if anybody has any 1950s old casino chips laying around, go find them. Right now there's like seven different listeners in different parts of the country. Just ran up to the attic. I think I got some up there. Wait a minute. You know? Vince, you don't have any old casino chips, do you?
No, I don't. Although I'm curious if some of the casino chips are they more valuable tied to a certain casino, or is it just the rarity of any casino chip back from the 40s or 50s, Steve?
Well, anything that old, and anything that old that's a clay chip and has the name of a casino from Vegas, is going to have value. And, you know, at a minimum, even something from as recent as 1980, a $1 metal chip from an island casino like the Bahamas or something like that, they're still going to get a dollar or two or three apiece, depending on the condition of them. So if it's a more recent collection, what we want to see is, you know, hundreds of pieces. But if it's an older collection, again, it's you know, if it's from the Flamingo Hotel from 1947 when they first opened, I imagine something like that's going to go crazy.
Yeah, so check around, people. If you think you have any, look them up and contact us. If you want to call Huggins and Scott, the number is 301-608-0355. Now, Americana Steve, if somebody calls with an item like that, are you there that they should ask for you, or would they ask for Bill Huggins on stuff like that?
Oh, they would ask for Bill, and Bill would put them in touch with me.
Okay, very good. Bruce from Bloomington is on the line. What's up, Bruce? What do you have?
Yeah, back in 2006, they had complete top sets that came out, and I believe inside of those sets they had Mickey Mantle memorabilia cards, but the cards were, you know, they had pieces of his clothing and things like that. Would those be worth anything?
They're worth a little bit, but not a lot. When it's a piece of clothing on those type cards, it doesn't do as well as if you have a low numbered and it specifies that it's a piece of a jersey. Like, okay. For instance, 2006, there was a product called Top Sterling that was a higher end product. I think it was a couple $100 a box, and you'd get one memorabilia card numbered, I think, to 10 or less. A Mantle out of that product might be $150 or $200, whereas the one where it's just a piece of a shirt or something like that, you might subtract a zero on it. It wouldn't sell near as much. But for a Mantle collector, it's a nice addition to a Mantle collection. It's just not as valuable as the items that are game-used items. And then the really good ones, if you have a game-used item, and it's signed. Vince, speaking of that, Vince, I see on your eBay that you listed some of the Topps Dynasty cards. You've got that one. Was that, yeah, Clayton Kershaw, number 1 of 5 with a beautiful patch. Now, that's number one. They only made 5. that's already at $76, and that's got quite a ways to go. That'll be interesting to see how he does. Kershaw, to me, is this generation's Koufax. I mean, if he can just do something in the playoffs, he's what a great pitcher he has been. So it'll be interesting
to see.
I think
he turned the corner in this year's playoffs. Did he, Tom, turn the corner a little bit this year's playoffs?
A little bit, but that last game against the Cubs, you know, they had him coming back early, but that wasn't a good game. So he's still, his overall playoff numbers are, you know, nowhere near what his regular season numbers are. And there's reasons for some of it, but meanwhile, people don't care about reasons. They look at, you know, 5 years from now, it's they look at the stats. They don't get, the reasons don't really matter. So he's got to really come through in the playoffs, and then he moves up to the top level. Tony from Shanahan is on the line. What's up, Tony?
How you doing?
Good.
How you doing, Tom? First time caller. I actually been listening for a while. I have kind of a unique thing. I have a helmet. It's a Rydell helmet. But it has a telephone built into it, like they used to use in a draft back in the day.
Oh, really?
And it actually,
for some reason, I just thought of Maxwell Smart, but I know he didn't wear it. He never had
shoe phone. Shoe phone,
not a helmet phone.
I can't document this, but I have a friend that I got it from that was good friends with one of the McCaskies, and I can't remember which one it was. But it is also signed by Richard Dent, and it's signed 1985 Super Bowl Hall of Fame.
Now I gotta see a picture of this one, Tony. I've never seen a football helmet phone.
Yeah, they used to use them in the draft. If you look back in the early '80s to mid '80s, on the draft day, all these people, Tampa Bay, every team would have their helmet sitting in front of them, and it had a phone in it.
Eric, you'll have to ask Steve McMichael later today when he's in for his show if he's ever signed a helmet phone.
I bet Steve Mongo's got one in his man cave. I bet he does.
How cool would that be if he has one? You got to ask him if you can, Eric. You got to ask him. Now, value-wise, we'll let Bill Huggins climb into that one.
What's that? I mean, I want to say that if years ago you could order those from some catalog or something that they would have made.
Really?
But I do remember, Tony, that they did have them on the tables of the teams at the draft.
Right.
I can't imagine if this thing is dated, and I don't know if it's the one that they used or if there's a way you could prove that this is the one they used. You could be talking, you know, $500 or so at least for this thing.
Wow.
Okay.
Now, did it have a working phone? I mean, have you ever, like...
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's a working phone.
You're not on it right now, are you?
No,
Tony,
no.
You're calling us right now on the Richard Dent signed helmet phone?
I'm not. But it's heavy. It's not a cheap... It doesn't seem like a remanufactured helmet. It's a Rydell, and it's very heavy. I mean, so it feels like an official helmet that somebody just custom made this.
Sounds pretty cool. If you can either tweet me a picture of it or email me a picture of it or even stop by Triple Crown in Naperville sometime with it, I'd love to see it.
I will definitely email you a pic.
All right, very good.
Right, thank you.
You know, you never know what people are going to call about. I guarantee you when I was driving in today, it wasn't going to be a phone helmet. I definitely wasn't thinking we were going to be hearing about that one. Okay, everybody, now don't forget to check out HugginsandScott.com. Their February auction bidding begins the end of January. Lots of great items on there. Previews get updated every day. There's sports, non-sports, anything you can think of. And if you have something, Bill Huggins, there's still time. If somebody has something that they want to get into that auction, they can, correct?
Oh, yeah, we've still got pretty much till the end of this year to get stuff in, written, and photographed. If it needs to be graded or authenticated, the sooner the better.
All right, very good. Now it's time for Vince Clementi to do the drawing.
This week's winner, kind of I regret to inform everybody, Olivia's dad, a White Sox fan.
Oh, all right.
You can email me, vince@ercdelivery.com, send me your address, and I will deliver free of charge.
Well, now... If Olivia's dad wants to come, and all the prizes are at Triple Crown in Naperville, so if it's just as easy for you to just pick them up there, you can do that. But still, email vince@ercdelivery by Thursday and tell them either they'll need to be delivered to you or you'll pick them up at Triple Crown in Naperville. Don't forget, up next, Fantasy Football Frenzy with Jeff Meller and Adam Abdallah. Have a great week, everybody.